From Michigan Radio and the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, I'm Lester Graham. As Detroit approaches the one-year anniversary of emerging from the nation's largest ever municipal bankruptcy, we're looking back at a lesson to be learned from the bankruptcy agreement. There was a complicated deal to help rescue Detroit's pension funds. Other financially troubled cities are not likely to find that kind of deal. It's not even clear if it was enough for Detroit. Detroit's bankruptcy was unique in a way other cities facing financial crisis are not. Here's why. The Kresge Foundation, the Ford Foundation, Knight, Mott, Hudson Weber, and many more private foundations contributed hundreds of millions of dollars toward the so-called grand bargain. It minimized the harm to pension funds and stopped parts of the Detroit Institute of Arts collection from being liquidated. The DIA also committed money to the plan. Governor Rick Snyder came up with $200 million more from the state. Altogether, it was well over $800 million. But even that much wasn't enough. There were painful cuts. Rip Rapson leads the Kresge Foundation. He says the deal would have fallen apart without the pensioners agreeing to those cuts.
There is absolutely no question that they came out of the bankruptcy poorer than when they began.
As part of the bankruptcy settlement, the City of Detroit non-uniform retirees took a 4.5% cut in their pensions. They lost cost of living adjustments and saw health care benefits cut. That's left some former city workers with tight budgets.
I had to cut back, and I learned to live with less. It's an adjustment you have to learn in life.
Juanita Hernandez started working for the City of Detroit in 1958. She's 88 years old now, and she knows that each year she doesn't get a cost of living adjustment, she's going to be that much poorer. The Kresge Foundation's Rip Rapson says without those kinds of sacrifices, Detroit could have been stuck in bankruptcy court for maybe a decade.
The fact that it was resolved so quickly and, much more importantly, consensually, makes Detroit unique in the history of municipal bankruptcy.
It's not a feat that other cities facing bankruptcy are likely to pull off. The underfunded pension plans were not the sole cause of the bankruptcy. Yes, there were bad investments, there were years the city shorted the annual contributions, and then there was a disastrous Wall Street scheme that had the city borrowing money it eventually could not afford. Keith Brainerd is with the National Association of State Retirement Administrators. He says the real issue of the bankruptcy is what he calls death by a thousand cuts.
In Detroit, the primary problem surrounding the pension plan was not the pension plan itself, but rather the deterioration in the city's finances.
Tax revenues have plummeted for decades as people moved out of the city. Here's the real lesson of Detroit. Instead of cutting services more or raising taxes to meet the yearly budget, too many municipalities shortchange their contributions to pension funds. It's long-term debt that they say they'll catch up later when times are better. But many municipalities are finding they're not catching up. Shorting pension funds is kicking the can down the road that eventually leads to financial disaster. Even after bankruptcy, Detroit still has pension problems. The return on investments are not as good as projected, and the Detroit Free Press recently revealed previous estimates of the needed contributions to keep the funds healthy could be way short. Eventually, that could mean further pension cuts. That leaves current employees and retirees such as Juanita Hernandez wondering about their futures.
Where are we going with this? How reliable are the investments they're making in order to maintain the monies in that retirement fund?
Pensioners in cities and even states across the country are facing the same hard questions. Lester Graham, Michigan Radio News.
Support for the Detroit Journalism Cooperative on Michigan Radio comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, Renaissance Journalism's Michigan Reporting Initiative, and the Ford Foundation,